children's messages today. How about that? Yay! That's what I say. Yay! Come closer. Come closer. Come closer. You're a long ways away. That's perfect. Sit on down. I surprised Eric today. He didn't expect me to do a children's moment, but this is my Sunday, so I did one anyways. So in the bulletin that says the title is Living Stones, I'm going to change it and call it Living Foundations, okay? I chose a scripture today from 1 Corinthians 3, and it's by Paul, who is the author. And Paul says, make sure your foundation is strong and firm. Now, a foundation is the very bottom of anything you're building, whether you're building a house or you're building a huge skyscraper. You still have to have a sturdy foundation. And Paul says, don't build your foundation out of silver or gold or hay or straw or wood. And that reminded me of a story when I was a kid, and I bet all of you know the story of the three little pigs. You know that story? Well, you're going to have to help me with this story. If I hold up one finger, I need you to say, huff, puff. I'm going to try it. Ready? Oh, you're not very huffy puffy. Come on. One more time. Perfect. If I hold up two fingers, you have to huff and puff two times. I'll do it for you, then you're going to do it. Huff, puff, huff, puff. Ready? And guess what happens if I hold up three fingers? What are you going to do? Three times. Practice. Here we go. Huff, puff, huff, puff, huff, puff. Get ready for your part. Don't miss it. It was time for the three little pigs to go out into the world. They each had the perfect plan of building their house. One built his house of straw, one built his house of stick, and one built his house of brick. Well, the big bad wolf saw that house of straw, and he came along and that house of straw blew to the ground, because it didn't have a good foundation. Well, that little pig, he ran as fast as his little piggy legs would carry him to the house built of sticks. Well, they no longer were in the house, and along came the wolf, and he blew that house of wood right to the ground. Well, it didn't have a strong foundation. Well, those two little pigs, they were frightened, and they ran as fast as their little piggy legs would carry them to the house that was made of brick. Well, that pig that lived in the house of brick said, come on in here. And they went in, and he slammed the door shut, and he bolted it tight. And along came the wolf, and he... But nothing happened. The brick house did not fall down because it had a good foundation. Phew! The pigs were safe. That's not the end of the story, though. That wolf, was he not only bad, he was very clever. He was very smart. He knew there was one more opening that the pigs forgot all about, and that was the chimney. He climbed up the roof, he went down that chimney, and his tail landed in that hot, fiery flames. Ooh, it was terrible. He jumped up, he ran out the door, he ran to the pond, and he jumped in to soothe his burning tail. And he never bothered the pigs ever again. And the pigs lived happily ever after in that brick house that had the good foundation. Now, it's kind of a good story, but it's a fairy tale. That means it's pretend. It's not really real. But I think Paul, who wrote that scripture in Corinthians, would have liked that story because it talks about having good construction, just like our church is going to have good construction pretty soon. Well, sometimes life gives us huffs and puffs. Sometimes things don't go the way we want them to go. Sometimes we have problems, maybe problems in school, problems with our friends, problems in our family. Sometimes we have health problems, all kinds of problems sometimes. So life gives us huffs and puffs. But if we do what Paul says, have a good, firm, strong, everlasting foundation, that foundation is Jesus. And if we have Jesus in our foundation, we can withstand all the huffs and puffs that come our way. Let's pray. Jesus, first of all, I thank you for these beautiful kids up here. We thank you that you are our good, strong, steady, everlasting foundation. And we have puffs and puffs in our life. We ask that we do turn to you. Thank you, Lord, for being everything to us. Amen. And thank you, kids.
Have some updates to our list of concerns. Don LaFontaine is now in comfort care down at the InCare Patient Center in Defiance. Larry Willis is dealing with the after effects of a TIA and would share with you that Verlene Lovejoy entered into eternal life at the age of 80, sorry, the age of 90 yesterday morning. Verlene was a very active layperson, not only in St. John's, but throughout the United Church of Christ. She has suffered from dementia these last number of years. And that is Mel Willis's sister. So Mel's a little bit overwhelmed right now, so we can be praying for Larry and Mel. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord God, we do thank you that we have gathered together to worship you in the outdoors. Lord, we thank you for the special nature of this Sunday. A time to worship, a time to fellowship, a time to celebrate, a time to prepare. Lord, for the program year that is beginning now, we thank you for the opportunities of teaching the faith, the opportunities of learning the faith, to know more about Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the committees and the leaders and the teachers and the ministries of St. John's. We pray that as Wednesday evenings begin, we pray for the blessed nature of education and fellowship and fun. Lord, we pray for the blessing of this time of worship, the time of fellowship gathered around the table. We thank you for the Christian Education Committee that oversaw the Sunday school hour, and we thank you for the Fellowship Committee that has overseen the meal. We thank you for the praise team and for James and just the aspects of preparing for this time of worship. And Lord, we know that you have called each one of us. You have gifted each one of us, and we pray that in our own way, we can share our talents and our faith with the church and with the world through the power and the presence of your Spirit. Lord, we pray that as we grow up and grow out in our faith this year, as we think about the renovation project that will soon start with the physical building of the church to help us in our ministries, we also pray for your Spirit to build us up faithfully and spiritually and through the knowledge of the Bible, that we continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, on this day, we pray for Don and Charlene as they deal with Don's care. We thank you for the ministry of that InCare Patient Center, and we pray that you would continue to strengthen Don and give him peace and strength. We pray for Larry as he recovers from this TIA experience. We're thankful that he has been taken care of, and as he is back home, we pray for him and for Mel. We pray not only for their physical health, we pray for them as they mourn the loss of Mel's sister, Verlene. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness that Verlene gave to you and gave to the church. And we pray that she would continue to be a witness through her legacy. Lord, we pray for each and every one of us that are here this day, just battling the cold and the breeze. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your patience with us as we deal with the huffs and puffs of life. Now, Lord God, hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next scripture reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. In the first scripture I read this morning from Matthew, Jesus called Peter to be the rock on which he would build his church. Now Peter is telling the Christian church that they are living stones. We begin at verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Praise God.
I learned a few points when I was in seminary a few years ago. One of those points when you're speaking in front of a crowd is to know your audience. And hopefully I know most of you that are here. Second thing is to know the situation. I'm not speaking for 45 minutes today. Probably not going to speak for 20, because I know there's food that's ready in there, and I know that you are all going to go to the ice cream machines to begin with, right? Because it'll still be frozen when it gets inside of you. But for our time of meditation this morning, I want to do it in the form of what I call a teaching lesson, which I do during Lent on Wednesday nights and things like that. So if I ask some questions, they may not all be rhetorical, and you can answer and give your responses. But in Matthew 16:8, the verse that we began with, where Jesus told Simon, son of Jonah, he said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Within that sentence, there are three key phrases. You are Peter. On this rock, I will build my church. You are Peter. We're going to come back to that one. On this rock, solid, lasting, foundational, rock. I will build my church. Build. It's an active. When Jesus is talking to Peter about my church, he's not talking about a building. He's talking about the people. And the building happens continuously, forever and ever. That building, my church. The my is Jesus. It's not our church. If we are founded correctly, both as a congregation, as individuals, we know that Jesus is the foundation of the church. Build, ongoing action. Jesus Christ, the church, the followers, the disciples, the believers, the Christians. On this rock, I will build my church. And you are Peter. Mark 3:16 and John 1:42 teach us that Jesus gave Simon the name Peter. And in John 1:42, when Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus, Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas." Simon, Peter, and now Cephas. Multiple languages are in the Bible, and it causes some confusion at times, but they're all meaning the same person, Simon, Peter, and Cephas. Because when Cephas is translated, the name is Peter. And in the Aramaic, the word for the Hebrew name Cephas is stone or rock. And so that's when Jesus is making a play on words there when he says, you know, he calls Peter the rock of the church. It's not only Peter is the rock, but it's the faith that Peter has in Jesus that is the rock, the foundation that the church sits upon. So Peter and Cephas are interchangeable. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus says this to and about Peter, because Peter has just professed who Jesus is. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus calls Peter rock, and Jesus proclaims that Peter's profession of faith is the rock on which the church is built. A profession of faith. Christians, we cannot bear the name of Christian unless we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we do so, Christ becomes the foundation of our life. It's interesting that you share the story of the three little pigs. I never planned to go to buy a house made out of brick, but through all these winters of Northwest Ohio, I am so thankful that I live in a brick home, because it really is very protective from all of the wind and the elements. The rock, sturdy and strong. So to be a follower of Jesus Christ means that you are a disciple. And to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it means you are a servant. How can Christians serve the Lord? This is one of those non-rhetorical questions. How can Christians serve the Lord? Any thoughts? Serving others? Fellowship committee is serving today? Dale, way in the back, went all the way around to take care of the piano, the keyboard music. That's serving others. I didn't notice there was a tree in my way, or I would have been there, dear. I've tried that once or twice. It doesn't go. How else do Christians serve? Lifting others up, encouraging and lifting others up in prayer. See that white bucket over there? There is actually mulch in that bucket. Oh, I'm coming back to that Tuesday at 6. Sunday school teachers, lay readers, people in the choir, people in the handbells, taking food to somebody in need, going to Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission, all kinds of ways that as disciples we serve. In the passage, the second passage that Linda read from 1 Peter chapter 2, there are three different aspects of when Peter, he is the author of 1 Peter, so he is the rock. There's three different ways that Peter uses the word rock or stone. Rock and stone, and just like Simon and Peter and Cephas are interchangeable, stone and rock are interchangeable. They probably mean something different technically, but today they're interchangeable. And there are three different ways. He talks about the living stone, capital S. The living stone, capital S, talking about Jesus. And that Jesus is a living stone. The solid nature of the foundation in Jesus Christ, but he's living. He is alive. He resurrected from the grave, and he lives in us, and he lives through us. So there's the living stone, and then Peter calls all the people that he was writing his letter to the living stones, small s. And through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, each one of you who have known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a living stone. Now, what's the problem with that? Are stones alive? They have a heart. They have a brain. Do they breathe? No. So what is Peter writing? Why a living stone? Well, it's when we have Jesus in us, our faith comes alive and we share that living nature. So there's the living stone and then there's the cornerstone. I was going to go down and steal the Lugbill forklift down there that's been in the parking lot for a while and come up and bring the cornerstone that sits in the parking lot. I really wasn't going to go steal it, but I thought about borrowing some. And I said, nah, it's not too much of a deal for 2 minutes worth of talk. But there's a cornerstone that was from the brick church building that stood down there a few blocks for many years. There's a cornerstone in almost every specific splendid building. I do not have a cornerstone at my house. But a cornerstone in today, it often has the date the building was built. And sometimes, like this one, the cornerstone on the backside has a time capsule in it. And there's all kinds of things in there. It talks about the history and that kind of stuff. Back in the days of Jesus, and probably still on most building sites, the true nature of a cornerstone is it's a large stone shaped to set in a very specific place, and the rest of the building is oriented off of that corner stone. It sets the line both ways. Maybe it's in a trapezoid kind, you know, but it's that cornerstone that lines everything else up. Jesus is the cornerstone. Peter writes about that from Isaiah. And so Jesus is not only the cornerstone of the church, Jesus is the cornerstone of our lives. And I'm thankful that you are here in this chilly weather this morning because I know that many of you have sat in such weather or colder weather at a football game or a softball game or any of those wonderful spring sports where it can, I mean, I went to a softball game here in Archbold. It was 75 degrees and sunny. I drove to Mount Pelier and it was 32 degrees. And you know, if we have priorities for that, we've got to have priority for us here in the worship because Jesus is the cornerstone and we line our entire life off of Jesus being the cornerstone. And then Peter finally writes the third phrase about the rock and the stone is a capstone. And there's a problem with a capstone. When you look at a building like St. John's, and because somebody piled a big thing of mulch, you may not all be able to see that. But the pilasters are the little piles, or little little statues of stone and rock that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 all along the wall of the sanctuary. Those are pilasters that hold the building together with the posts and the beams inside. In each one of those, they have a capstone. The capstone is the last stone set. Normally, a building would have one capstone, but we have more than one. But it's the final stone set in place, and that part of the building is finished. Jesus is the cornerstone at the very beginning. Jesus is the capstone at the very end because he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the first and he is the last. And that is Jesus, who promises to be with us through all, what were those words the kids are supposed to say? Huff and puff. It went out of my mind. Huff and puff. Jesus is the first and the last. And we are blessed in our daily lives if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior because he gets us through the struggles. And that's the reality of what Gary said, of lifting one another up, of encouraging. The joy of having food, it's not about the food. It's about the fellowship. And I haven't said this for a while in some of our meals, but, you know, when we go in to eat, and hopefully you can all stay and bring some other people because I think there's going to be plenty of food. When you go in there, try not to sit at a table by yourself. If you're the 31st person in the door and you see someone sitting at a table by themselves, they might just be waiting for you to come and sit with them and you can meet somebody new. And that's how we fellowship in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our beginning and our end. And in the middle, we have discipleship and fellowship with one another. And that's what it means to be Jesus Christ disciples and followers and people of God. That's the shortened version, okay? Because I see some of the shivering. You said you normally slept at about 11:15. See, I remember what you tell me, but that's also why I was standing here to keep you awake. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the solid nature of the Christian church. And it's solid only through the fact that it is founded by Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, I pray that in this new day, we'd be mindful of being obedient disciples, knowing that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, thankful for the life that he has given to each one of us. Lord, may Jesus just lead us in our hearts and in our thoughts as we love you and serve your people. In Christ we pray. Amen.
And out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Our closing song is found on page 6 and 7 of your bulletin. It's called Days of Elijah. Following the spoken benediction, we will sing the chorus of Shine, Jesus, Shine as our benediction and song, found on page 5.
And I invite you to stand, and we will combine the benediction and the meal prayer at that time. But stand for this closing song.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, since these are the voices of the desert, crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Remember, there is an exit offering, and remember, after the dinner, there is kickball over there on the lawn. I was here rather early this morning, which is my normal custom, and I came out to the storage building for the first time, and six Canada geese, first time ever that I've seen them, six Canada geese landed over there on the east lawn. I think they thought the plastic that was out there for the bathe paths was a lake. So there will be some water involved. There are a few maybe people that aren't able that signed up to play kickball. My son can't play, so I thought I'd take his place. But that may not be the best thing. So if anybody wants to take his place, feel free to jump in. Let's pray. God, we do thank you for the blessing of being together. We thank you for your love, and we thank you that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and sends us forth into the world. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of the food and the fellowship that we'll enjoy, and we pray your blessing upon that nourishment and as your word continues to nourish us through life. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Play, Spirit, play. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. God, the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and
I forgot. There are two serving lines, so you can go in either the south porch or you can go back into the preschool entrance and serve and help yourself.